Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Welcome in, Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio, live and underway. Glad to be with you today. A lot to get to today. Let's jump right into it. The guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news, and a lot to get to in this first segment. We'll talk about the July recruiting period, which gets underway about 24 hours from now on Thursday. We'll talk some about that. Also, yesterday, the new 247 Sports national rankings came out in the 2021 class nationally of guys that are going to be juniors for next high school basketball season. We always talk about how loaded that class is and how it could really go down as one of the all-time great classes of a lot of great classes of players our state has produced. And in those new rankings, lots of guys. I don't know that I can remember a class with as many guys from our state ranked in the top 150 in a single class. So we'll go through who's ranked where and talk some about that class in the first segment as well. Also, we want to get to some other things. I mentioned the recruiting period. Romeo and the Celtics. Summer league play continues. The Celtics are 3-0 now. Romeo not playing, but he did make some comments yesterday to Tom Westerholm of the Mass Live coverage that Tom, of course, joined us earlier in the week, so we'll talk some about that. And a quick couple notes from last night out at the Little League Park, the final night of the District 5 tournament. We had the 12-year-old softball championship live on the radio, and we'll talk some about those results. Some softball champions last night here in the area that will now head on to state tournament play. Later in the program, in segment two, we'll be joined by Stu Jackson of the Hoosier.com. We'll talk IU basketball, and of course, we got to talk recruiting with the live period beginning tomorrow. Kind of have a good idea about where Archie Miller and the coaches will be at. We also know at this point, for the most part, where the players will be at, who is playing at the different events. A lot of shoe-sponsored stuff going on this weekend is normal. This is the one normal period of the recruiting period, just like in previous years. This has always been the Peach Jam and some of the finales of the shoe circuits. And, of course, we had high school stuff in June, which is new, that college coaches could attend. And we've got NCAA Academy camps coming up later this month, which are still kind of a lot of confusion surrounding those things. So that's unknown. I'm not sure how those will go over, but this will be a huge weekend for coaches. There will be every coach you can think of, every head coach at some of these big events, especially the Nike EYBL down in Augusta. So we'll talk with Stu about some of that. Then later in the program, Craig Pearson, the sports editor of the News and Tribune, he is always in studio with me. On Wednesdays, we'll talk local sports headlines, and there's a handful of things to get to here in the middle of the off season. So we'll talk with him about some local stuff coming up later in the program. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Just over 24 hours from now, live period starts for coaches. It'll run through Sunday evening, and there will be three major events, mostly positioned in the southern part of the states. Augusta, Georgia, the site of the Peach Jam. Atlanta and Birmingham, I think, are also hosting the other two big shoe company events in this period. So reasonable distance between those locations that coaches will be able to spend a day or a half a day at a lot of different events and make their way back and forth if necessary. But for Indiana, the storyline, and we talked some about this yesterday in the program, but the storyline for Indiana is who do they really
focus on in the 2020 class. So many names. There's a number of offers that have went out. There's some in-state guys like Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway that Indiana seems to be in a really good position with. Matt Cross, another player, an out-of-state guy from Woodstock Academy up in Connecticut. Indiana seems to be in a good position with him. But this evaluation period, I think, will kind of say where the coaches are at and who Archie is front and center for. Might help with prioritization, at least from our angle, to know who Indiana is really honing in on as perhaps we get closer to a opportunity later this month or at the end of these evaluation periods when some of these guys who will be seniors want to go ahead and make their decision and get it out of the way. You know, it's been, and I didn't realize this, I mean, obviously I knew Trace Jackson Davis was the last commitment and signee for IU. It happened last November, but you think about that. That's been a long time. November, I guess it was early to mid-November, and we're approaching mid-July. That's a number of months since Indiana received its last commitment, its last addition to the program. No concern about that. I don't think there's any reason for fans to think, oh my gosh, it's been a long time. No one is pulling the trigger and calling for Indiana right now. But I do think that you'll see some movement. I would be surprised in August and September if we don't see some movement, especially from these class of 2020 guys. It seems like Galloway and Leal and Cross maybe could be some guys that do make their decisions based on what they've said in some interviews and based on how structured they seem to be and the number of visits that they've taken already, that could be primed and ready to make some decisions late in the summer, early in the fall, before they get too far along in their senior year of high school basketball. Also, I mentioned national rankings, the 2021 class. Those rankings were released by 247 Sports yesterday. I believe it was a top 150. Actually, it may have been a top 170 or so. They went a little beyond the 150 mark. Let's take a look at the names from Indiana. Christian Lander, the highest ranked Indiana player in the 2021 national rankings that came out yesterday. He is at the number 18 spot. Of course, Christian plays at Evansville Wrights, so an opportunity to see him this upcoming high school season as Wrights is on the schedule of a number of teams in our immediate area. Number 31, how about this? Trey Kaufman with a big, big rise in the national rankings. He actually jumped Caleb First of Fort Wayne Blackhawk, who's number 36, but Trey Kaufman approaching the top 30 in his class, which is just fantastic in the 2021 class. I mentioned First, he's still a national prospect. Some people, I would say some of the other rankings that are updated later this summer may still have First ahead of Kaufman. He's number 36 in the 24/7 rankings. Blake Wesley from up in South Bend, he's been making some noise, number 88. Luke Goody from Fort Wayne, he's number 108. Jalen Blackman of Marion, number 116. J.R. never can pronounce his last name. Starts with a K. He recently took an unofficial visit to Indiana. He's at number 123. Pierce Thomas of Brownsburg, a name that we really haven't talked about. He's number 139. And Quamari Peterson, who's an intriguing prospect from Gary Westside, comes in at number 140. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 players in the top 140 of the 24/7 sports rankings that came out yesterday. What a class this 2021 class is. I'm not at all saying that you put all your stock in national rankings. I'm sure coaches take a look at it to maybe make some prioritizations and who they're going to look at and see if they've got all those names on their list, but it is still impressive when one state has that many players in the top 140 of those rankings that came out yesterday. Pretty impressive stuff for the Hoosier State, but no surprise. Look at some of the classes that our state has produced year after year. A number of Division I players, lots of nationally ranked guys. 2020, more of a balanced class. There are some good players in our state. There's some depth of players in our state in that class that will go on to play college basketball. But as far as national rankings and a whole bunch of top prospects, you got to go to 2021 to be the next class in Indiana that has a number of guys ranked like the 2021 class does. Also, Summer League in Las Vegas, the Celtics are continuing to play well. They won yesterday 95-82 over the Denver Nuggets. How about this? Carson Edwards, I mentioned yesterday that they were beginning to talk guarantees and contracts and a little bit more details with him as a second-round draft pick, which is great news for him with the future, his future at Boston, it looks like. Now, yesterday, 23 points, a game-high 23 points to lead the Celtics to a 3-0 record now in Summer League play. And I think the playoffs, I don't want to call it the playoffs, but the tournament bracket, starts, I think, Friday in Vegas and goes through early next week. So the Celtics have been on the court record-wise, performance-wise, one of the best teams in Vegas. We'll see how they do as they approach the final game or so of the regular season, if you want to call it that, before bracket play begins. And all of these games, most of the games, are on ESPN, NBA TV, a number of different stations. But you can see just about every Summer League basketball game that there is. And Carson Edwards has just been extremely impressive. Tom Westerholm of the MassLive.com site, who we had on Monday to talk about Romeo and his fit and situation at Boston, has been in Vegas. In fact, he joined us Monday on the program from the Summer League at Vegas. He had a chance after the game yesterday to catch up with Romeo, get a couple quotes from him for his story, and I guess no update as far as the injury goes. He's still been shooting. They are practicing out in Vegas at some local high school gyms. Still shooting, no full contact, and it obviously at this point doesn't look like he will join the Boston roster this summer for any of the remaining games. But a couple quotes from Langford in the Mass Live story that you can read that Tom has put out last night. Quote, "It's kind of weird not playing and watching everybody else. It's boring. It's kind of boring for me." He went on to say, quote, "I feel like we're all on the same," excuse me, let me start over here. "I feel like once we're all on the same court playing, it's going to be real good just because we all complement each other's games real well, specific to our games." That was a couple quotes from Romeo that I pulled from Tom Westerholm's story in Mass Live, talking about what he's seen in Vegas from his Boston team. And I can imagine to be out there, to be around that hype, to be in front of your coaches and front office personnel and all the people that are in the stands and along the tables at Vegas and not be able to play as a lottery pick, it's probably frustrating for everybody involved. But the good news is it's not the end of the world. There's time to get healthy. There's time to get that shot back to its true original form. And then, of course, we'll see Romeo, I guess, next in some competition will be exhibition NBA games would be the next opportunity to see him once he is healthy and once the NBA season gets to that point. One final headline here in the first segment. It was great to be out last night with Tom Wendt for a final night of Little League District 5 coverage. Great crowds this week. I mentioned how great the crowd was Monday for some of the baseball championship games. Another really good crowd last night. We just did the 12-year-old game, but there also was a 10-year-old championship as well. And it was a good game. New Albany was up 5-0 in the 10-year-old championship game. Floyd Snobbs came back and tied the game at 5-all and then went on to score 7 more runs and win 12-5 in the 10-year-old final. So the Floyd Snobbs All-Stars, it's Floyd Snobbs Community Club Little League All-Stars, they are heading on to the 10-year-old state tournament later this summer. And the 12-year-old Floyd Snobbs team, which is loaded with experience of girls that some of them went to the Central Region last year playing up in the 12-year-old division as youngsters. Some of them were on the 10-year-old state championship team a year ago from Floyd Snobbs. But I'll tell you what, they were just fantastic last night. They completely overmatched Charlestown. I think the score was 17-0. It was a shortened game based on Little League run rules. But that is a team of all the teams that we've covered. We've got some good baseball teams. I'd be surprised if we don't have maybe 1-2 baseball state champions come back to our local area. But of all the teams we've covered and of all the District 5 teams that won, Floyd Snobbs 12-year-old softball, they may really have a chance to not only win the state, but get to that Central Region. Last year, the bulk of this team made it to the Central Region, won the state championship, got to the regional, and then lost to the Ohio team that went on to win the Little League World Series. So they're experienced. They've got some understanding on how to advance through this thing, how the rules work, pitching, and et cetera. This Little League team from Floyd Snobbs Community Club on the softball side, they might be able to get there to the World Series. They really are that good. So they will be fun to follow their results through the summer, through the next couple weeks. And their state tournament starts later this week. They get at it, I think, Thursday night or Friday night is when they begin. So they'll know something if they're going to win that state and go back to the regional here within the next week or so. That's a look at the headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. We will have some announcements coming up soon as well about where we will be. We're going to cover some of the local teams that have won the district on to the state tournaments and maybe beyond. So stay with us for that coming up here in the next few days. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with our guest today, our first guest, Stu Jackson of TheHoosier.com. We'll talk IU basketball. We'll talk recruiting, where the coaches will be at, what the big storylines are of this first July evaluation period. And, of course, it's going to be a lot different after this weekend. This is kind of the normal period from what all the coaches and everyone is used to. So we'll talk some of that with Stu when we come back. And then later on, Craig Pearson, the sports editor of the News and Tribune. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison here on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday program. Stu Jackson of TheHoosier.com. He covers men's basketball, football, and recruiting for TheHoosier.com, which is part of the Rivals and Yahoo Sports Network, joins us today. A lot of recruiting chatter with the, I guess, first period, you'd call it, of the July recruiting calendar to start in just over 24 hours. Before we get into that, also from a recruiting side of things, Stu, the national rankings updated in the 2021 class by 24/7 Sports. I counted 9 guys from the Hoosier State in the top 140. We talk a lot about how good that class is and what some of those players could become as national prospects and as high major college basketball recruits, and it's all starting to come true, getting some major recognition on the national level in those rankings are 9 guys from Indiana.
Yeah, it's certainly nice to see, you know, the national rankings confirm what I think been a long-held belief in, you know, if you've covered, you know, recruiting or you know, at least the state of Indiana in the last year or two, and with that being that, you know, this is definitely a very talented and deep in-state class, the 2021 class, that is, and so it's going to be a really exciting time if you're an Indiana high school basketball fan, especially regardless of where these kids end up, whatever schools they end up choosing. There's a lot of talent here among the upcoming juniors for this season. So it's a really exciting time, and there's a lot of talented kids to keep an eye on as a result.
Let's go through some of the names, and I mentioned the 9 that were ranked in our headline segment today to begin the program, but Evansville, Wrights' Christian Lander, he's received a number of even new scholarship offers in the month of July after the evaluation period for high school teams in June came to a close. He now sports just a really impressive list of scholarship offers, and he comes in as the number 18 player overall in the country, according to these 24/7 sports rankings. He has really caught the eye. I mean, he got Indiana, Purdue, Louisville, some of the local teams involved with him, even younger than what he is now, but he's really begun to caught the eye of other programs outside of the Midwest footprint that have went ahead and offered him a scholarship as well.
Yeah, that's right. I know that some of these schools that I'm going to mention aren't, you know, outside of the Midwest footprint in some cases, but, you know, when the contact period began, he was hearing from UCLA in Cincinnati, and then when I was at the Charlie Hughes shootout watching him play against Caleb First from Fort Wayne Blackhawk Christian, another talented in-state 2021 prospect, there were coaches from North Carolina and Michigan State at that game as well. So, yeah, he's definitely, if it wasn't evident based on his ranking and his talent and all of that he was going to be a national level recruit, the interest that he's garnering now and will continue to garner, I suspect, certainly only confirms that. So, yeah, he's a really talented kid, and he's certainly going to have a lot of options as he gets closer and closer to his decision date, whenever that may be.
We're talking with Stu Jackson of TheHoosier.com about the class of 2021 in Indiana. 9 players from the state ranked in the top 140 of the rankings put out yesterday by 24/7 Sports. Trey Kaufman, right here in our immediate area of Silver Creek, takes a nice jump in the rankings. He's now at number 31 in the country, actually ahead of Caleb First, another big name that we've been talking about for a couple years, even really before Trey burst onto the scene as a college prospect, you could say. Trey Kaufman is a guy that is on the rise. He is playing really well. Had a little injury in the spring that kept him out of some travel ball activities, but back with Silver Creek, had some huge point performances and just overall performances for Silver Creek at the Charlie Hughes event with a lot of coaches watching. And I can only imagine that he's going to attract some really big crowds in the month of July as his recruiting and the footprint where the offers are coming from for him as well continuing to expand.
Yeah, I think if he isn't the player with the most upside, he's certainly up there in the class of 2021 when it comes to in-state kids. I've been more and more impressed every time I've watched him play. You know, the Charlie Hughes shootout, I saw him attacking the basket a lot more, which in the previous times I saw him, it seemed like he was playing out on the perimeter more, which, you know, for a kid who's his size, that's not necessarily a bad thing, especially in today's game. But he's a really impressive kid. Reminds me a little bit of Trace Jackson Davis, but again, with a little bit more refined, you know, perimeter skills. I think, you know, obviously Trace is a kid who played more closely in the paint and is working on building the outside part of his game. So that part's a little bit flipped. But otherwise, you can kind of see why, you know, Indiana and some of the other programs, both in-state and out-of-state, have taken an interest in him. He's a tremendously talented kid, and you know, I think he's only going to continue to grow.
Talking with Stu Jackson about 2021 talent in Indiana. Got to talk about Caleb First. He and Christian Lander were kind of the two first names, I guess you could say, on a national level from this class that started to receive recognition. I think a lot of that came even when they were freshmen. But he's a big guy as well, a power forward, 6'9", Fort Wayne Blackhawk Christian, and he continues to attract more offers and is no doubt going to end up playing at the high major level in college hoops.
Yeah, he's another tremendously talented kid in this class. Of course, you know, just somebody who, when I first saw him play this spring, I think it definitely took a little bit of an adjustment for him, because when you go from Class A basketball in the state of Indiana to playing on the Nike circuit, that's a pretty big jump in talent as far as, you know, who you're playing against on a nightly basis. But you know, he's someone that is, you know, continuing to improve. You know, has great touch, you know, around the rim. Can run the floor very well. Definitely fits the mold of a, you know, prototypical kind of power forward or maybe even center in some cases that, you know, certainly Indiana, maybe even some other Big Ten schools look for. That being said, the Big Ten isn't the only conference that I think is going to take an interest in him, obviously, or isn't the only one that has already. But another guy that, you know, I really like his game, and I'm excited to see how he develops.
Stu Jackson is our guest, talking some recruiting stuff. Going to get into the July evaluation periods that begin here tomorrow evening, Thursday evening, for Division I coaches. But a little more about the 2021 class first, Stu. You know, it started, I mentioned, first in Lander. Then, of course, Kaufman breaks on the scene locally. Luke Good was another name. And of course, Jalen Blackman, that's a strong family name in that class. But there are a number of other players as well. Blake Wesley's a player that I have not seen, and he seems to have kind of burst onto the scene after some of these other names. He's number 88 in the country, which is no laughing matter at all. Obviously a very solid player. And there are other names in this class as well. I mentioned 9 total ranked in the top 140, and there are good players outside of that 9 as well that just aren't in these national rankings, at least at this point. Anyone else beside those key names that we have kind of had you break down so far that stands out to you as guys you would not be surprised to see Indiana tracking and trailing a little bit here in July around some of these different events?
Yeah, I think that, you know, honestly, that pretty much covers it. Just some of the names we brought up, especially when you consider that, you know, Indiana's working with 4 scholarships in the class of 2020, and it'll probably be, you know, around that size for the class of 2021. So they'll have plenty to, you know, keep their attention between all the guys who are nationally ranked and you know, of course, the guys that they got a chance to have come down for team camp and things like that, Blake Wesley being one of them. So it's a good comprehensive list, and I'm sure, you know, more names could emerge this week, but you know, that's pretty much who I would expect them to be focusing on, and I wouldn't expect too many surprises beyond that.
Talking to Stu Jackson of the Hoosier.com. With the recruiting period starting tomorrow, we know that IU's coaches will be on the road in full force. We've had a lot of discussion leading up to this point about how different the recruiting calendar is with some changes this year, and that really this is the only event that recognizes or would recognize, I guess, from previous years as, you know, shoe company teams, shoe company circuits, lots of top talent, great facilities, very easy for the coaches to navigate. Essentially, each Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour bringing a great number of the nation's top players together under their umbrella to compete. So this is all, though. It's normally three weekends of this stuff. It's down to one with some high school stuff already in the books and the NCAA Academy set for later this month. Definitely a different feel, an odd feel for what's getting ready to happen in July based on what we're used to.
Yeah, no question. I'm used to planning ahead for late July and going to Las Vegas and seeing a number of kids out there and also seemingly seeing every college coach under the sun attending the events and tournaments out there, just because that's the way it always been. But like you mentioned, the NCAA's made some changes to the recruiting calendar this year, and it's just a very, very different feel. Now this summer, the final week in July is an evaluation period, but only for scholastic events. So Vegas obviously is falls in the category of non-scholastic, you know, the shoe circuit type of events and camps and whatnot. So that is going to be very different, just because, you know, I think there will be a definite talent discrepancy between what you're used to seeing at some of the shoe circuit events versus the kind of kids that are going to be attending these NCAA academies. Now, that's not to say the kids that attend the academies are talented and will, you know, warrant high major interest and things like that. I'm not trying to disrespect them in any way. It's just the fact of the matter that, you know, when it's a much different setting and there's more talent typically at some of those non-scholastic events. And so, yeah, it's been very strange between the one evaluation period in the spring and then, of course, you know, having the scholastic evaluation period in June, and now only having one for the non-scholastic events in July. It's all been very interesting and kind of interesting to navigate, I guess I would say.
Yeah, those NCAA Academy events, and we'll talk more about that when they get here later this month, but that's going to be interesting because, Stu, isn't the filling out there, haven't some of the better players, the top-ranked players that you normally would expect to highlight and star at any type of exposure event when coaches are there, whether it's like this weekend when they're playing with their travel teams or even if it was a camp format, haven't some of them said they're either not going or not sure if they're going to attend?
Yeah, that's a big question because you've got some kids that I'm sure their AAU coaches are telling them, hey, you've been playing with us since the spring. You know, you owe it to your team to, you know, ride this thing out. You know, why should you, you know, do something, you know, and why should you focus on this individualistic pursuit when you've made this commitment to this team? And even if, you know, the team is planning on playing in July when the college coaches aren't going to be there. It makes for, you know, difficult planning on my end, certainly, but I can't imagine how difficult that is for college coaches trying to figure out, okay, am I going to be, you know, if I spend the money to travel to these regional camps and divide up my staff to send them to these regional camps, are we going to see the players that we want to see, or are they going to be, you know, not showing up and going somewhere like, you know, Las Vegas or Orlando instead? So there's a lot of unknowns with this, and you know, it's going to be fascinating to see how it all unfolds.
All right, Stu, I've asked this of a number of guys, Pegues yesterday most recently when he was with me on the show, but who does IU spend the most time with this weekend and this month at some of these evaluation opportunities in the 2020 class. Is fans starting to get a little antsy about when are the Hoosiers going to get a commitment? Who's going to be the first in the senior-to-be class right now that goes ahead and pops for IU and makes that decision, that announcement? Who do you think Indiana could be tracking closely with that in mind?
Yeah, that's a great question, Matt. I would say they'd be devoting most of their attention to the Adidas Summer Championships this week. Not that there isn't talent in the Under Armour events and the Nike events, Peach Jam and things like that. But you've got Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway, two guys who are obviously in-state kids that they've been on for a while now. Who I expect they'll be paying very close attention to. Also, not to mention the fact that Christian Lander, who we've already talked about on the show, is going to be down there with that Indiana Elite team. The thing that, or the reason I say I don't mention Nike is because, yes, Cindy Heat is going to be down there, and they've got Caleb First, most notably. But, Matt Cross, whose BABC team didn't qualify for Peach Jam, and Caleb Love, who's the Brad Beal Elite Squad, didn't qualify for Peach Jam. They're not going to be down there, and those are two other guys that are, highly sought-after targets, at least on the national level for them. So because of that, I think you'll probably see them spend more time down in Birmingham at the Adidas Summer Championships, though I think they'll still do their due diligence and make sure they're keeping an eye on First as well and maybe Wesley with Under Armour as well.
Here's a question for you, Stu, that I received on Twitter during our conversation. With all the discussion today about the 2021 prospects, Kaufman, let me see here. He's listed at 6'8" and obviously a power forward. We mentioned Caleb First, 6'9", 215 pounds, a power forward. Indiana involved with both of those guys. How similar are their games? Obviously, somewhat similar. They're playing and listed at the same position. They're around the same height. And basically at the same weight as well. Is it possible that Indiana, continues to recruit long term and has a chance to land both of them, or because they're similar, could you see a one or the other situation? That was the general gist of the question I got.
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say that you could probably play both of them together, and I could see Indiana still pursuing both. I don't think it's a one or the other situation just yet. Just because, like I mentioned earlier in the show, I think Trey's got a nice, perimeter-oriented game. He can still play inside, but he tends to play further away from the basket, whereas when I've seen Caleb First play, he does have the ability to come out and hit mid-range jumpers and things like that, but he tends to play more inside or closer to the basket. And so they both can run the floor really well, and you can both probably play them alongside one another. But at this point, it's not a situation where I think it's one or the other. Their playing styles are distinct enough that you can figure out a way to have them both on the court at the same time, and I think you'd be able to take both if you wanted to.
Stu Jackson of TheHoosier.com with us here on the program today. Let's get away from recruiting for just a moment before we close things out in this segment. Obviously, it's a busy time for the coaching staff, and it's a short coaching staff right now with Ed Schilling leaving the program and that opening still existing at this point. But the coaches are on the road. I assume the players within reason are now back on campus and going through, I'm assuming, while the coaches are out of town recruiting, still playing and still doing some workout stuff and off-the-court stuff with the strength and conditioning folks. Is that generally what you think's going on right now at Assembly Hall and Cook Hall?
Yeah, so right now, while the coaches are on the road, essentially what's being done is skill development workouts that are being conducted by managers and support staff non-coaching staff members, essentially. And so, players are doing that, and then, while they, continue to look for, assistant coach replacement for Ed Schilling, who departed the staff, as I'm sure your listeners know, they're going to have Bill Komar, who's the assistant athletic director for basketball administration, fill in and take part in this evaluation period. He'll have a presence. It's not exactly clear where yet, but he will be on the road and helping out the coaching staff as he did in late July. So, yeah, right now players are on campus, you know, getting those skill workouts in, and then the coaches are busy trying to navigate this crazy recruiting calendar that the NCAA has put together for this year and seeing what they can do with it.
When do you think we get the full IU schedule for next season? I know the Portland State game, I think the most recent contest that's been confirmed. How close are we to a full schedule?
Yeah, I think we've got to be getting closer. It's it was in July, I think, last year when Hoosier Hysteria was even announced. And usually when that gets announced, the full schedule itself is not too far off. So it would certainly be helpful for us if it comes out sooner rather than later, just with our planning with the our annual basketball preview magazine that we're doing. But we've got to be getting pretty close here, and I'm sure there's, you know, fans are saying the same thing and just a lot of interest and, you know, just wanting to see the complete non-conference slate as well, and just figuring out those dates and times for, you know, the Big Ten slate. We already know the home and away, or only home games and only away games as far as, you know, who they play in the conference slate. So it certainly seems like it should be coming sooner rather than later.
Stu Jackson of the Hoosier.com. He covers men's basketball, football, and recruiting for the site, which is a member of the Rivals and Yahoo Sports Network. Stu, thanks so much for the chat. Busy July for you and your group, I know, and appreciate the opportunity to catch up. We'll do it again very soon.
Absolutely. Thanks as always for having me on, Matt.
Absolutely. Stu Jackson with us to talk about a lot of recruiting stuff. That 2021 class in Indiana, it's shaping up to be a great one, as I think everybody predicted. And the recruiting period gets underway Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening, and so I know there'll be a lot of stuff there to track as far as where the coaches are at and if anything new transpires here between Thursday evening and Sunday night as well. A big opportunity for the coaches, a big opportunity for the players, and really the only one in that format with this new recruiting calendar. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Craig Pearson. He's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. We'll talk some local sports headlines after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on Wednesdays. Always Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, with me. He's in studio today. And Craig, you've been busy, man. We've seen a lot of each other at the Little League Park. Lots of great coverage of some of this local stuff going on in your paper. A lot of great photos. That's probably my favorite thing, is to see your photos of the kids and the good moments and the tough moments as well. And I know that people appreciate you guys being out there to cover some of the local stuff. But we've got some teams that I think, in fact, we were both at that softball final last night. I think that team, that Floyd Snobbs team, could make a really deep run. They maybe could do it. You hate to pin anybody with too high of expectations, but they seem to have what it takes.
They do. I mean, they've got several hard-throwing pitchers, and that's certainly something you want in softball. And then, you know, a team full of young ladies that knows the strike zone and knows how to put the bat on the ball. So that's a heck of a start there. Yeah, I mean, I think you mentioned earlier in the show that they, you know, played up, and a lot of them did anyways, and were, you know, won the state and went to the region and had that, you know, that type of experience is monumental when you try to go back and get the job done. So they'll probably have a little bit of an edge on some of those other squads. And, you know, I think their goal, and their coach made it no secret, their goal is to get to the World Series. So, yeah, it should be a fun group to keep an eye on. And they get to play in Indiana through the region if they win, I believe. So, you know, should be interesting next few weeks for that group of young ladies.
Absolutely, and it's fun to talk to them. We got a chance after the game to talk with some of the young ladies here on the radio broadcast before we departed, and they are not only good softball players, but good kids, well-spoken kids, and you could tell that this really means a lot to them. One other note, and I know some people probably like, why are you talking still Little League, but 17-0 was the score last night, and of course that tells you, A, how good Floyd's Knobs is, and B, that they were well ahead of the other teams in the district. But with that said, the sportsmanship on both sides is something at that level of sports, of youth sports, even when things aren't going well for the other team, to still see good sportsmanship from both sides. And there was opportunities on both sides for it not to be that way last night, but it was. And that's another thing that we can be really proud of about, you know, this area and some of the things that we get the chance to cover.
Sure. I think, yeah, Coach J.R. Drummond of the Floyd team certainly helped put the brakes on a little bit at times.
Sure.
And I think, you know, he was very complimentary afterwards of some of those other teams in that 12U group. I think the Jeff GRC team only had 9 players and were, you know, trying to work hard to hang in there against some of those other teams. And that Charlestown team, obviously, they had some talented girls, so that it seemed like their coach was doing a real nice job with that group and very, you know, positive, high energy, and good to see those girls work hard throughout that game despite the outcome. So, yeah, absolutely, Matt.
All right, Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek. We spend a lot of time, even in the off season, talking about a prospect at the level he is. National rankings out. We've been talking about this throughout the program, really. He's number 31 in the country, and I'm somebody that I like the rankings because it's interesting to see who's where, and you can kind of compare players and things like that. Again, rankings at the national level, or everybody has their own opinion. Some of these guys see these players often. Some probably do not, but something to be proud of when your name rises that high into a national listing of players. And I don't think it's any surprise to us or really anybody in this area if they follow Trey. You know, normally when the scholarship offers come and then start to pick up, there's a lot of people recognizing your skill, and that's exactly what's happening. He's getting more and more offers. His national ranking is rising, and he started as a Southern Indiana player to watch. Then he became a player in the state of Indiana that was getting a lot of notoriety. And now, Craig, he's on the national level.
Right. I mean, I think I knew when I came down here in January that Trey was without a doubt a, you know, mid-major, at, you know, type of talent, and as a sophomore had some potential there to rise. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be very exciting, and the buzz that's going to be around Trey as we go into basketball season, and as, you know, as he kind of, as Silver Creek, you know, visits some visiting gyms in Clark and Floyd County and beyond, and how he's kind of received. You know, I think the fans will come out a little bit more to see him and that sort of thing, as there's some, obviously, some IU fans around and that are interested there. You know, and everybody likes to see, you know, a rising star like that, as you guys saw with Romeo down here. I don't know if it'll ever get to that level with Trey, but it'll certainly, you know, he's certainly obviously a Big Ten national level talent. So that's always fun to say you saw him play in high school for high school basketball fans and that sort of thing. So, yeah, it should be a real exciting time with him on the rise. I've seen videos of Trey working out as well. You know, he looks like a guy on a mission to, you know, continue to like transform his body and create that college type of you know, body that he's going to need to compete at that level.
That's such a big part of it, especially as Trey makes the jump from the middle part of his high school career to the upper part of his high school career, working out, changing your body, getting a physique that is ready for the Division I level is so important. Of course, he's blessed with the height and the length, and then he's worked so hard on his basketball skills. But that's kind of the final piece sometime where you see a guy really focus in on that, get better, get older, get stronger, get tougher, and then boom, they make this jump like Trey is doing, and I think that's exactly what's happening.
Absolutely, you know, and he's got – what's cool about it to me, too, is I've shown up at Silver Creek, and it's not just Trey in the gym. It's Trey and Cooper Jacoby working together and having another guy that's a future Division I player to really help push one another is a real cool dynamic there, and I think it's going to help them both really – see their games take off this winter.
Absolutely. Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune. A lot of what we talk about either is or is some stuff that Craig is working on, and you can find that at newsandtribune.com/sports. Again, newsandtribune.com/sports. You can also follow Craig and the sports team on Twitter at NewsTribScores. Speaking of that, what are some things you guys are working on? This is, I guess, a little bit of a slow period for sports. I'm not sure it ever quite slows down for a break, maybe the way you'd like it to do. But this is a time where you can kind of get off the beating path a little bit, go to some little league games in the tournament, do some feature stuff, kind of recap things that have happened that maybe you haven't had the chance to cover as thoroughly as you might like to have done.
Sure, Matt. We've already had a few basketball pieces, the Jake Hydebreeder story, Brandon Northern of Silver Creek we featured a little bit, and we're going to feature a couple of the new coaches, Ryan Miller and Lance Stimler is associate head coach at Providence as Ryan looks to build his alma mater up. Josh Cook's going to have a nice little feature story for early next week about him and the state of that program and where they want to, how they're going to get it where they want to go. And same deal with Charlestown with former Providence and former Charlestown coach Sean Smith taking over there and what he's looking at there. And I got a chance to see them in your Kentuckiana Summer League and caught up with him and a couple players there. And Sean's very determined, and you know he may have to be a little bit patient to get it where he wants, but there is some talented players there, and it just I think they talked about they had some chemistry issues probably last year and that sort of thing, so they've got to break down to the basics and build up, and you never know, maybe they've got a decent squad there next year. Some other things, I think we'll have some Floyd's Knob Legion coverage coming up. They've got a couple of home games, and they don't have a ton of home games on their schedule, but we'll try to get to some of those and provide some photos and stories there. And, that's some of the main stuff there. I think we've got some other things in the works. We'll try to touch on some other more off the radar sports as well. I think we got some wrestlers going to Fargo, which is a big deal. It's one of the biggest off season wrestling events there. I think it's the Greco-Roman tournament up there. So anyways, that's some of the main stuff we'll have coming here in the next 4 or 5 days.
Sounds good. Always a lot to get to. And again, you can follow Craig and his team's coverage at newsandtribune.com/sports. Getting back to the coaches for just a moment, Ryan Miller and Sean Smith, it's glad to see that work out the way it did. Ryan at Providence is something I know makes a lot of sense to go back to your alma mater. He's got a great reputation, if you ask some of the long-standing coaches in the area about assistant coaches they respect. Ryan Miller is going to be a name that comes at the top of that list. So to see him get a chance to lead his own program and it be Providence is a special thing for him. And then to see Sean, who's just one of the best guys I know, to see him find a spot to move to that he is excited about, I think works out for everybody in the long term. So neat to see how things have worked out for both of those guys moving into spots. And that's something good for you and I. Good guys in the coaching community here locally as well. Easy to work with, fun to talk to, great to follow their teams. And I think both of those guys will immediately, I know they're already immediately at work trying to get those programs where they'd like them to be.
Absolutely, Matt. Yeah, both guys, I've had the chance to talk with a little bit. Very engaging, young, energetic guys. So, yeah, absolutely look forward to working with them in the years to come here. And, yeah, with Ryan, I think I got to think the chance to work with under Coach Sturgeon at Floyd Central has been huge for him. And I think I just from Todd's personality there at Floyd, I think he's got to be he takes his craft seriously. He's been doing it a long time. That's got to be a great guy to have as a mentor and to just continue to sharpen your game as a coach. So I think Ryan probably benefited greatly from that and looks forward to taking charge of his own program again there and seeing what he can do at Providence. So yeah, with Sean, I think I kind of touched on it earlier, but yeah, I think he's looking to build a program there at a school with a great facility and it should be it should be a lot of fun. I mean, there's definitely some talent there, and I think he talked to me as well about getting in the middle schools and getting some coaches ready to go there and continuing to build the program from the ground up.
And we're also weeks away from football. I mentioned that yesterday. It's hard to believe how close we are to the start of the football season.
Absolutely, yeah. Speaking of that, yeah, I had another story about Erica Hurd taking over at Jeffersonville.
Yeah, that was something I meant to bring up to you today.
Yeah, you know, she's pretty excited about that opportunity, and I think, you know, Coach Parker's talked to me about his entire staff, and he's, you know, he's got some alums, and he's got people that are excited to be there and excited to have an impact on those football players at Jeff and see what they can accomplish there in the first year. He's trying to create a buzz. He's trying to get kids in the school that, you know, that maybe didn't come out for football in previous years, give it a shot and see if he can, refine their football skills there. And you know, the more numbers he's got, the better, I think. You want to get some young guys excited about football. Absolutely, looks like a good opportunity there for Isaac to, see what he can do there in his first year.
Absolutely, and again, I mentioned this last week, but Craig and I, the Big X, the News and Tribune, working together on a high school football media day to really preview all angles of the 2019 high school football season, including introducing some of these new coaches to you, and of course, some of the top players as well for the season, so we look forward to doing that. We'll have more information, a date and location, and some other details coming out here over the next few weeks. We look forward to working with especially some of the new coaches this year that enter the immediate area as far as football goes. Craig, thanks as always. Try to get a little break.
Yes.
Can you do that?
Maybe next week.
You're deserving of it. So,
all right, thanks.
Craig Pearson, sports editor, with us here on this Wednesday program as always. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday program. Don't forget, if you missed the live broadcast, often most days replay at 3 o'clock here on the Big X Sports Radio. You can also find us as a podcast. We're in the SoundCloud app, the Apple Podcast app as well. There's plenty of ways to catch up with us. And no matter how you listen to the program every day, we appreciate you being with us and appreciate your support of us covering sports here in the area. That's going to wrap things up for today. I'm back Thursday on the program. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is with me on Thursday. We talk more IU basketball. We get the recruiting period started tomorrow as well. We'll cover all of that with Alex and more in Thursday's show. Have a great Wednesday. Talk to you tomorrow here on the Big X Sports Radio.